Gaia.
Thank you so much. Okay, good morning. So last week, we began to study the perspective of the Rambam on the oral law, on the Tarsha Baal Peh, how we got the oral law, when was it given, and the like. Perhaps to briefly review what we left off with, we saw that the Rambam essentially said that there are five categories of halacha. The first category of halacha is what the Rambam calls Perushim HaMekubalim. Perushim HaMekubalim are interpretations of the Torah that were given at Sinai. That Prietz Hadar is a reference to Nesrog, that Ayin Tachas Ayin is a reference to Mammon. The Rambam told us that with respect to these types of halachos, there is no debate. The second category is what the Rambam, or what the Gemara refers to as halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim are also transmitted orally. They were also given to Moshe at Sinai. About these also there is no debate. However, these are totally non-textual in nature. The Rambam, if you had a chance to look at the Hakdama, showed how the Gemara in Brachos, in discussing the Shiurim, for example, takes this for granted, that if something is from or rooted in the text of the Torah, then it wouldn't be considered a halach l'Moshe Mitzrayim. And even though we might have allusions to halach l'Moshe Mitzrayim, allusions meaning an asmachta, the Rambam's position about an asmachta is that an asmachta is essentially a mnemonic. So the pasuk Eretz Chitah Sora Gefen Uteinav Rimon Eretz Hashem Udvash gives you a mnemonic to refer to all the different shiurim that are relevant. But because it's only an asmachta, it's not the meaning of the pasuk. So shiurim are still begeder halach l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Now, it's worthwhile to emphasize, and this is a point that Rav Soloveitchik makes in Shiurim L'Zecher Avi Mori, the Rav's Yartzeit Drashos. He has a drasha which we'll be referring to a lot in today's shiur. It's called Shnei Sugei Mesora. It starts on page Resh Mem Aleph in the first volume of Shiurim L'Zecher Avi Mori. And he points out that the difference between the first and second category is not simply that one, the first category, Perush HaMekubal, is rooted in the text, whereas the second category is totally non-textual. But in addition, that the first category is subject to human understanding, to questions, svara, and the like. Whereas the second category is not. The way he puts it, I'm sorry I didn't reproduce it. It's a long piece. I'm reading now from page Resh Mem Zayin. Afal pishim mekubalim heim ish mepi ish mimoshe rabbeinu mikol makom nitnu li tafes besvara v'gam yesh aleim remazim b'mikra v'ilu halach l'moshe misinai ein lo remez b'mikra v'efshar lavina besvara. Now, the idea, though, is that both of them share the idea that there could be no debate. You see this, for example, with respect to Perush HaMekubalim. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says, how do we know Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mammon? And it goes through all sorts of different possibilities. And then, towards the end of the Gemara, on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara cites Rabbi Eliezer's view that Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamish. And the Gemara immediately rejects that. Mamish Shalka Daitach El Dmei Mazik. It's inconceivable that anyone would hold that it's mamon mamish, ayin tachas ayin mamish. Why? Because that's a perusha mekubal. With respect to perusha mekubal, there is never machlokas. As the Gemara says in a couple of places, as we saw last time, im kabalahi nekabel, v'im din yeshalav tshuva. In other words, if the halach l'moshe misinai, if this halach is a kabbalah, so then we accept it. I can't debate it. Halach l'moshe misinai. If not, if you derived it misvaras, so then yeshalav tshuva, then I have a kasha. So the Gemara takes for granted. There's no machlokas. Ayin tachas ayin is not mamish. Why? That's a perush mekubal. It's inconceivable that there's machlokas. It's inconceivable. Now, what's interesting, though, is that there still is a debate whether it's demei mazik or demei nizak in terms of ayin tachas ayin. So, apparently, the Rambam's saying that with respect to the concept that ayin tachas ayin isn't mamish, that no, that you don't pluck out the person's eye, that's perush mekubal. But the precise understanding of that perush mekubal, that was subject to debate. Doesn't mean to be mazik, like Rebbe Lazar, a little bit more of a literal understanding of the pasuk, or to be nizak, which is, of course, the way we follow. So the Rambam here is making an important point. It's not that there is no debate about anything related to Tashlume Nezikin. Avada there is. But the Perush HaMekubal, namely that Ayin Tachas Ayin isn't Mamon, that is agreed upon by all. That is agreed upon by all. Now, sometimes the Gemara will in fact go ahead and try to cite arguments to support a Perush Mekubal, like that Gemara in Pei Gimel, Pei Dalet, and Bat Metzia. Or like the Gemara in Sukkah when trying to prove what the Arba Minim are. What is Priets Hadar? What is Kapost Marim? What's Anafet Zavos? The Rambam understands that those Gemaras are also Begeder Asmachta. Take a look, by the way, as opposed to Tosfos, Rambam and Tosfos, both in Sukkah and in Bava Kamma, are consistent. The point is that there's another type of asmachta. Sometimes when we talk about an asmachta, probably the more common usage of the phrase, we use it with respect to a din derabanan. There's a din derabanan, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and we say, no, the pasuk is just an asmachta ba'alma. The Gemara says, viskadishtem, v'isim kadoshim, a pasuk in Parsha Shmini, viskadishtem is mayim rishonim, visim kadoshim is mayim achronim. We have a pasuk that teaches us mayim rishonim, mayim achronim. How could that be? Mayim rishonim, certainly a din derabanan, it's mishum sfach truma. No, that's an asmachta. Okay? It's a way to sort of remember, according to the Rambam, remember these dinim derabanan when you're reading the psukim. That's one type of asmachta. There's another type of asmachta, which is when you have a concept that's, let's say, a perusha mekubal, but we try to show an allusion to it in the pasuk. That's also an asmachta. That's not really the makor. The way we know this halacha is kabbalah, it's tradition, it's mesora. It's not the drush, it's not the interpretation of the pasuk. The interpretation of the pasuk is simply an asmachta. Okay, so those are the first two categories of halacha, again, perusha mekubal and halacha moshe misinai. About those, there is no debate. The third category is drashos, yud gimel mido shatar, nidrashos ben riboy, miot, svara, and the like. These are the various places in which the Gemara uses analysis and interpretation to understand the psukim. Now, generally speaking, we call the halachos that emerge from this category deraisa. Now, the Rambam actually has a much more nuanced usage of the words, Dvar Torah and Divrei Sofrim, as opposed to the standard approach, which is anything that relates to something that the Torah itself mandates, anything that's divinely legislated, we call deraisa, anything that's rabbinically mandated, we call derabanan. The Rambam had a different approach. Divrei Sofrim is not limited to dinim derabanan. Divrei Sofrim also relates to things that are not explicit in the text. And both category 3 and 1 and 2 sometimes. It talks about halacha moshe m'sinai, Rambam's position, for example, and it also plays out halacha l'maisa. The Rambam seems to think that we don't apply safek d'oraisa l'chumra to even halacha moshe m'sinai. But anyway, maybe another time we could talk about that. The Rambam's position here is very interesting, and it relates also to his arichus in terms of what should be counted as a mitzvah and what isn't, especially in Klal Sheni and Sefer Mitzvahs. Again, I think we'll leave that for now. But anyway, so the third category relates to the details of Torah laws which were not given to Moshe at Sinai, but were rather extrapolated, interpreted by the Chachamim throughout the generations. One must follow these interpretations, as the Torah says in Dvarim Yud Zayin, Vasisa Kol Asher Yerucha, Lo Sasun HaDavar She'Yegedu L'Chaim Yenu Smol. This relates to the rabbinic interpretation of the Torah laws. But, about these, the Rambam says, there is Machlokas. There is Machlokas. Now, we saw that even though the Rambam, on the one hand, quoted the famous Taras Kohanim that says that Klalim and Pratim were given at Sinai, the Rambam understands that in a more narrow way. The Rambam understands that Klalim Pratim doesn't mean every detail of every Din D'oraisa. Rather, what does that mean? That refers to the Perushim HaMukubalim, that refers to the Halachos L'Moshe M'Sinai. But there were many details that were not given at Sinai. And then, categories 4 and 5 relate to Xeris, Takanos, and Minhagim, which again, perhaps we'll talk a little bit about later, but that's more straightforward, his view over there, what they are, and the like. It is significant that he divides them in that way. Doesn't just put all Dinim D'Rabbanan together in one category, nor does he put it into three categories. He puts it into two categories. Again, if we have time later, maybe we could discuss why that is. But now I'd like to really focus on the first three categories today. Now, the Rambam over here, just to give us a little bit of background, as I think we mentioned last time, is coming to challenge what was probably the predominant view in his time, the Gaonic position. The Gaonic position is articulated in a number of Sfarim. The Ravid one, Rabbi Avram ibn Daud, really develops this in his Sefer HaKabbalah. The famous letter of Shri Ragon elaborates on this point. Others as well, Rav Nisim Gon in his Mafteach Le Talmud also develops this idea. We'll call it the Gaonic perspective. I don't know that all Gaonim held of it, but certainly a number of thinkers that preceded the Rambam were of this view. And these Gaonim held that every detail of every mitzvah, d'oraisa at the very least, was given to Moshe at Sinai. Every detail of every mitzvah. That's certainly probably the simplest understanding of the statement in Chazal, that Klalim and Pratim and Dukdukim were all given to Moshe at Sinai. They understand that literally. There are other statements in Chazal where, at least simply understood, support this view. That's their view. Now, obviously, the question that must be asked, according to this view, is how did Machlokas arise? How did Machlokas arise? Every detail of every mitzvah d'oraisa was given at Sinai. How did Machlokas arise? And this Gaonic perspective answered, it happened basically through forgetting. And because these details were forgotten, there was an attempt to retrieve them. When you study Gemara and there's all this machlokas, it's basically an exercise in retrieval, trying to retrieve what was once given to Moshe at Sinai. All the debates relate to that point. Now, how exactly did this happen? How exactly were so many halachos forgotten? So Rabbi Avram ibn Daud quotes a famous Gemara that says, Mishrabu Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel Sholoshim Shukol HaTzorach Nisrabz HaMachloikos v'Yisrael. That once upon a time, there was almost no debate. If you look at the Mishnah Chagiga, Daf Tazayin, for a number of generations during the time of the Zugos, which, you know, were Bayesheni, even, you know, way back to the early Bayesheni period, middle Bayesheni period, there was really only one machlokas that went on for a number of generations. It related to smicha, anyantif. And then, even when it came to Shammai and Hillel, so we only find a little more. There were three machloksin, or three additional machloksin, the Gemara Shabbos says. So there's a total of four machloksin. That's it. Very little debate. And then the Gemara says, Misharabsu, Misharabu, Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel, Shaloshim Shukol Tzorech. Ah, when there were the students of Shammai and Hillel that weren't properly Mishamish the Rabbanim, so then there was huge amounts of machlokas, dozens and dozens and dozens of machlokas in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, ad kidei kach, that the Torah came to be like two toros. That's what the Gemara says. It's in the Bavli, with slight variation in Yerushalmi and Chagiga. So what does that mean? It says the Ga'onim, that means Mishaloshim Shukol Tzarach, and others, is tremendous forgetting. They didn't chazer. There was tremendous forgetting, perhaps also related to persecution. It wasn't just laziness, but due to insufficient shimush, lemaisa, huge swaths of Torah was forgotten, and memela, that's how machlokes developed. That is the Gaonic perspective. The Rambam, when he quotes this, calls this miguna. This is disgusting. Disgusting. What's so disgusting? Because he was pogame in the Chachmei HaMesorah. That they like forgot so much? How could that be? How could that be that so much Torah was forgotten? It's miguna ma'od. And he explains a little later. Again, this is all in the sheets from last week, because he was pogim be'anashim asher niskablu mehem hamitzvos. He was pogim in the Chachmei HaMesorah. It's pogim in the Chachmei HaMesorah. I can just get one more thing. Let me just finish. So how does the Rambam explain that Gemara? What about that Gemara that the Gaonim quote? The Gemara in Shabbos. Peches Mabes, that it was because of the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel Shloshim Shukol Tzarech. So the Rambam writes, Avo Masha Amru Misharabu Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel Shloshim Shukol Tzarkam Rabza Machlokas B'Yisrael Inyan Zeh Mevuar Shekol Shnei Anashim Peyosim Shavim B'Seichel Uve'ion Uve'yediyas Ha'ikarim Shiyotziu Mehem HaSvaros Lo Tipo B'Nei Machlokas B'Svarasam B'Shum Panim Vimnafla tia miuta, kimo shelo nimsa, shenechle kushame vehilal ela behochos yechidos. You have two people that are very proficient. They are skilled practitioners. So they will, generally speaking, arrive at the same conclusions. Now, their Shammai vehilal, you know, more or less had the same rules, the midosh atar nidreshes bahen, and they were very good at what they did. They're very... So, in terms of the applications of the hermeneutical principles, in terms of Svara, very little debate, because they were so proficient. The Talmidim didn't quite live up to their Rebbeim standard, and therefore, Memela, there was more Machlokas. There was more Machlokas. Aval kasha rabsa shkidas haTalmidim, Alachachma v'nechlesh asvarasam neged svaras hillel v'shamay uvam nafla machlokas b'neim b'iyun al advarim rabim shesvaras kolecha v'echad mehem haisa lefi sichlo u'mash yesh b'yado minaykar. Now, it's sort of interesting. First of all, obviously that there could be debate in terms of rabbinic legislation. That's not an issue, because maybe there's a debate whether or not a particular piece of legislation was a good idea or not. But in terms of understanding the dinim d'oraisa, so, because they were not as proficient as their teachers, so then debate proliferated. Now, parenthetically, even though the Gemara implies that this was the you know, we should blame the Talmidei Shammai the Hillel. The Rambam says we shouldn't blame them. As we already saw before, we're not going to be pogame in the Chachmei Masorah. Ve'ein la'shimam b'chol zos, the Rambam says, shelo nachriach anachnu l'shnei chachamim mitvakchim bi'yun l'tochachas k'seichel Yeshua Pinchas. Ve'ein lanu safek k'mo b'amesh nechlechu acharei she'enam k'mo Shammai ve'Hillel. O k'mo shu l'mala mehem, Shakadosh Baruch Hu, Shakadosh Baruch Hu lo tzivanu ba'avodaso al inyan zeh. Very important point. That, you know, we might say that, I don't know, the students of Rav Moshe Feinstein weren't as great as Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the students of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach weren't as great as Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and the students of the Rav might not have been as great as the Rav, right? So are we going to blame all those great, great Talmid HaChachamim? No. No. Just because the students of Shammai and Hillel didn't quite reach the Madreig of Shammai and Hillel doesn't mean that they're at fault. So, you know, on the one hand, the Gemara does imply perhaps they could have done better. Lo shimshu kol tzarech. On the other hand, the Rambam says it's not for us to blame them. It's not for us to blame them. So that is how debate emerges. Debate emerges. It's not a question of retrieval, as the Gaonim would have it, but rather, it's a question of new interpretations of the Torah, applying the exegetical principles, the hermeneutical principles, learning, applying the midos, shatar nedreshesban, applying svara, which is in a sense a type of midah, shatar nedreshesban. It's also another way we understand the psukim, knowing how to use a riboy and a miyot. That's where debate emerged, and it continued in these lines. Even after Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, there were many generations more machlokas. It reflects, in a certain sense, a diminution. Rambam's perspective on Hiskatna Sadaris is actually a very interesting one, another time perhaps. But that's where we have debate, in the third category of law. Yes?
How do we read, like, Gemara's would seem to, like, insert, like, modern, like, Gemara machloks him into, like, stories about, like, David and Malach?
A very interesting Shaila. In other words, you're saying like this. Where the Gemara talks about, the dispute between Shaul and David about the marriage of Michal, as, you know, Mekadish b'milva pruta, daita milva, daita pruta, right? So that's a machlokas before Shammai and Hillel. In other words, I don't know if the Rambam would be bothered by, would appreciate your formulation of inserting, but it's a kasha regardless. This is an earlier debate, right? This was before the machlokas by smicha. The truth is, Taisus and Chagiga asked that kasha on that Gemara, where the Gemara, the Mishnah and Chagiga by smicha and Daf Tazayin, that implies that the first debate was with respect to Yushalmi. Rashi over there also cites it that was with respect to Smicha. What happened to that Machlokes? So Tosfos says that it wasn't counted as a Machlokes because Shaul and his whole Beis Din ruled one way against David. So it wasn't really a Machlokes. David thought what he was, his position. In the end, it might have been correct. We're going to see in a couple minutes how I think the Rambam would actually answer that question. I think the Rambam answers the question, but I want to get there. So that's the Rambam's view in summary. Now, there are a number of questions that one could raise upon the Rambam. And the way, I'd like to look, there's a very tremendous tshuva from the Chavos Yair, Kuf Tzadi Beis, on this topic. Again, I didn't reproduce it for you because it's quite lengthy, worth looking at. Where he gives the Rambam a hard time. He asks a lot of questions on the Rambam. I'd like to consider five or six of the Chavos Yair's challenges on the Rambam and try to consider what the Rambam might have answered to his questions. Obviously, to some degree, what we're going to be doing is speculation. We don't know what the Rambam, you know, the Rambam didn't answer his questions. The Chavos Yair lived hundreds of years after the Rambam. But we could try to figure out, extrapolate what the Rambam might have said in response to the questions of the Chavos Yair. Chavjer himself, first of all, he actually, you know, acknowledges he's actually very confused about this whole sugya. It's very hard, very hard. The Rambam's Shita, he thinks, is problematic. He agrees that there's problems with the Gaonim Shita. He considers the famous comments of the Ritva, which maybe we'll talk about another time, that Hashem gave all the different options to Moshe. He has objections to that. His view overall is closer to the Gaonic view. But really, you know, what I'd like to work on today is the Rambam's view. So we're going to look at some of the kashas that the Chavos Yair asks on the Rambam and see if we could consider some solutions. So one question that the Chavos Yair asks is that, you know, how... There's so many dinim, probably most of the pratim in halacha really fall into category three, right? So many details, right? So many details. So many details. So how could that be? I'll read you a little bit of his lashon. Ulefi das harav lo nitan rak. He quotes a gemara from the first pack of brachos we cited last week. Shiga mishnah v'talma nitan l'moshe rabbeinu olav v'shalom misinai. Ulefi das harav lo nitan rak perush hamikros v'dvarim hanidrashim b'midos shem chelek pachos me echad mimeya midinim hanizkarim b'mishnah v'gemara. Less than 1% of halachos, okay? I can't say I counted, but he says less than 1% of the halachos fall into categories 1 and 2. So more than 99% falls into category 3. So what's the Rambam going to say? So first of all, the Rambam tells us that that the basic principles are in categories 1 and 2, and they're not debated. For the most part, even though it is true there are thousands of machloks in Shas, generally speaking, they relate to details and not to basic principles and applications. And this is something actually that the Gaonim also stress in that piece from Rabbi Avraham Ibn Daud. He makes this point as well. He says that the forgetting was with respect to details, not so much with respect to basic principles. But nevertheless, Lamaisa, let's assume the Chavos Yair is right, that 99% of machloks and relate to category 3. So how could that be? So perhaps the Rambam would respond in a chanami. That's okay. And perhaps maybe a little support for this view could be found in a Gemara in Yevamos. Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there is talking about the makor for Shnios, Larayos. There's a number of different opinions. Shnios, Larayos are, of course, Arayos de Rabbanon. And so the Gemara wants to know what's a remez. What's a remez for Shnios? So as I said, there are different views. The Gemara cites that Rav Kahana's view was we derived it from the pasuk of Ushmartem es Mishmarti. And that indicates, Rav Kahana says, what does that mean? Asumishmeris lemishmarti, make a fence around my fence. In other words, arayos, the mitzvos, are mishmeris, and you should make a mishmeris lemishmarti. The Rambam, by the way, with respect to category 4, in terms of how do we know we should make zeros, he cites this gemara, asumishmeris lemishmarti. It's not just about arayos. I mean, shnios, the Rambam understood that gemara, presumably as saying, as a general principle, all dinim, all zeros. Okay, that's what he says. So, baye rejects this, or he questions this, he objects, he says that Ushmarti Mishmarti, that's not a remez. That's a drasha, right? If you're right, if shnios are derived from Vasu Mishmeres Mishmarti, that's not a remez. So Rav Yosef says no. Rav Yosef says, Duraisu Pirshu Rabbanan. Meaning to say, yeah, It is from the Torah, but the Rabbanan explained the Psukim. The Rabbanan explained the Psukim, to which Abaye objected, and Abaye says, Kol Torah nami pirshu Rabbanan. The Gemara concludes, Ela mid Rabbanan v'kras machta ba'alma. The Rabbanan v'kras machta ba'alma. But I want to go back to that first line. Kol Torah nami pirshu Rabbanan. There's what the Gemara sounds like it's saying, is that Kol Torah is the Rabbanan, is the Oraisa explained by the Rabbanan. Not Perush Mekubal, not Alach Moshe Mesinai, but the interpretation. In other words, the Gemara itself is acknowledging that nearly all of the Torah, Chavos Yair says 99%, falls under Category 3. Okay. Enachanami. So perhaps the Rambam would not really be bothered by that question. Enachanami. The Rambam knew there was a lot of machlokas, which means that a lot of the discussions fall into Category 3, and that's exactly what the Gemara says. Kol Torah nami pirshu Rabbanan. Another question that the Chavos Yair asks is that there are statements in Chazal that indicate that there was forgetting. We'll consider two of them. One of them is the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Aleph or so, Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph mostly, and then onto Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara over there says, this is of course the debate between Moshe and Aaron towards the end of Parsha Shmini, where after the death of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron and his two remaining sons were Onanim. Generally speaking, an Onan is, if you're not a Kohen Gadol, is also Be'avoda. Even a Kohen Gadol could do the Avoda, is also Be'achila. Moshe told them that the Karbanos should be eaten. And in that day, on that day, there were actually three Karbanos, Chatas being brought. Two were Kachay Shah, were specialty Karbanos. And the third was the regular Sirsha Rosh Chodesh, right? It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Aaron and his sons ate the first two, but they didn't eat the third. They burnt it. Moshe is upset. He says, you guys did the wrong thing. Aaron says back some type of argument that, no, this is why what we did was correct. Moshe says, you're right. And he accepts the argument. And that's it. So, very interesting, by the way. You know, Rav Tzadok, I think, points out that you see here the first example of the process of debate, of masu matan, of questions and answers in terms of figuring out, determining the halacha, right? Moshe says one thing, Aaron says another thing. And Moshe, though, in the end, concedes. And he says, you're right, you know, I forgot. This is what Hashem said, I forgot. Even during Moshe's lifetime, there was forgetting of the Torah. Gemara in other places says Nisalma Mimenu Alacha. Well, Nisalma doesn't have to mean forgetting. Could mean that Moshe didn't ask. But anyway, that's one source. Another source, maybe even more relevant, is the Gemara says in Tmura, Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, that Bimei Evlo Shel Moshe Nishtakach 3,000 halachos. Yeshua perhaps was a little bit prideful. Moshe asked him, you know, at the end of his life, do you have any shilas? Yeshua says, no. Baruch Hashem, you know, tell me everything. Moshe dies, and during the Yimei Evlo Shel Moshe, 3,000 halachos were forgotten. And they didn't know what to do, you know. They said, Yeshua, you know, can't you restore these halachos? Yeshua says, no, I can't. Lo b'shamayim hi. Nobody post Moshe can determine halacha based off of nevuah. So it says that they were very despondent until Achechziro Sneil ben Kenaz bepilpulo. Sneil ben Kenaz used Svara to basically restore these halachos. So this L'chaira, says the Chavos Yair, is Rambam against the Rambam. Here we have thousands of halachos, right, you know, with the very death of Moshe being forgotten. So how would the Rambam explain this? So perhaps, you know, one thing generally to keep in mind is that you can't refute necessarily a position in Rishon like the Rambam just because you have an Agadic text that goes against it. But let's still try to understand. Maybe we'll elaborate on that in a moment. But let's try to understand if the Rambam could accept this Gemara. So the answer, perhaps, is that actually this Gemara doesn't pose a problem at all for the Rambam. Where were these halachos? What types of halachos were forgotten? Were they categories 1 or 2? Or perhaps they were category 3? Now you'll say, well, of course they were category 1 or 2 because they were forgotten from the teachings of Moshe. But that need not be the case. Maybe, even during Moshe's times, Hashem gave the Torah and mitzvos to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he left it to Moshe to analyze and interpret and extrapolate. In other words, the process of interpreting the Torah that would happen for the thousands of years following Moshe already was taken place during the time of Moshe. Just like Lemashel, Moshe made takanos, right? Let's say with respect to Kriyas HaTorah. But it's still Din D'Rabbanan. But why it was B'mei Moshe? No, the answer is it was Moshe's takana, or the takana of the Beis Din of Moshe. It wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it has a din of a takana, it's a din of Din D'Rabbanan. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu, in his lifetime, Hashem, as we said, did not give every single detail of every single law. There are certain things that were Peyushim HaMekubalim, certain things that were Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, and there are certain things that Hashem left it to Moshe and his Beis Din to try to understand using the principles, the Midosh HaTorah and the Drash HaSpan and the like. And the truth is that Gemara in Zvachim really is tremendous support for this idea. Because what's going on over there, right? What's going on? Okay, it took Moshe and Aaron just a couple of psukim to have this back and forth, and it takes like a blot, you know, a whole blot in Zvachim to get, you know, figure out what each line means. But Lemaisa, that's what they're doing. They're using Svara to analyze the statement of God. God, you know, Moshe tells Aaron, you know, you should eat there. First he said about the Mincha, and then Moshe says, you know, we should extrapolate from there to the Karban Chatas. And Aaron says, no, how could you say that? Maybe that was Exer Sakasov with respect to Kache Sha'a, but with respect to Kache Doros, we should follow the normal rule, right? In other words, what was going on over there? Well, what's that debate? That debate is like a machlokas between Ravina and Ravashi. It's like a machlokas between Beisham and Beis Hillel. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon, trying to figure out, you know, what do we do? Do we extrapolate from here? Do we equate Kachi Shah to Kachi Doros? Yes, no, maybe, right? And at the end of the day, Aaron won, right? So maybe, B'yamei Moshe, the interpretation that would later become Category 3 was also going on. It's not like, you know, let's say there's a machlokas in Category 3, right? So are you going to say that machlokas never came up B'yamei Moshe? Maybe. Or maybe. Maybe not. Maybe that Shiloh came up B'yamei Moshe, and Moshe used the methodology of interpretation to figure out what to do. And Adarab, I'd like to maybe add a little more to that. You know, if we go, there's an idea that we're going to develop in just a couple of minutes from the Rav, but I really think, you know, it emerges quite clearly from the Rambam that the whole concept of analysis, this type of analysis, of, you know, Talmudic analysis, the debate between Moshe and Aaron, that type of analysis is by definition limited to Category 3. So if we find Moshe and Aaron using Svara and the like, it must be that there was their debate was with respect to category three. Now, it is still true that the simple reading of the Gemara in Zvachim does sound, you know, a little more like perhaps the way the Gaonim read it and the Chavos Yair read it, that you know, this was told to Moshe and Moshe forgot it, and then, you know, after Aaron made his argument, he remembered it. But I think it's a reasonable interpretation to say what we're saying for the Rambam and what we're saying about the Hechziro Pil Osniel Ben Kenaz Pilpulo. And that is that this sort of analysis was not mere retrieval. Now, it's very important to stress that category three is also the Dvar Hashem. In other words, it all does go back to the Torah given to Moshe at Sinai. It certainly goes back to it. It's just the conclusions are arrived at differently, as opposed to an explicit statement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's rather a statement given from Hashem to Moshe, which is subject to interpretation using the rules outlined. Okay, so that is the next, you know, question number two from the Chavos Yair. Question number three. I'm not going in the Chavos Yair's order, jumping around a little bit. The Chavos Yair asked an interesting question. We said before that according to the Rambam, you know, there was no, or really the Gemara, right? There was no machlokas until the days of, you know, there's one machlokas in the days of Zugos, and four machlokas in the days of Shammai and Hillel, and then many more later. So, you know, and he says, you know, why is it that there was so little debate? Because they were such skilled practitioners, and they came to the same conclusions, the same applications, the same svara. And later on, you know, they were of a lower quality intellect, or Talmud, and Mimela, the machlokas proliferated. So the Chazir says, isn't it a little strange that, like, for more than 1,000 years, you know, there's no debate? Okay, I understand that these were great people, right? They were great. But, like, ad kidei kach, that there was no disagreements? No disagreements, misvara, right? Everybody agreed? That seems very unreasonable. To say that nobody, right? Im lo hayel gambalad Moshe Rabbeinu ish mipi ish, eich hishvu kol chachmei Yisrael l'das achas b'dvarim abnuyim al pi haseichel v'yesh panim l'kan u'l'kan. We know that every amachlokas that emerged later, mamish yesh panim l'kan u'l'kan, right? How could it be that there was total agreement? Now there's Bishlam, according to the Gaonim, it's fine. There's agreement because this has nothing to do with human, you know, originality. It was simply given by Hashem to Moshe, and it's true. It seems like very hard to imagine that all of a sudden there was this tremendous shikha. Okay, I don't know how the Gaonim are going to respond to that. But Lemaisa, within the Rambam, it's strange for a different reason. It's strange that everybody would agree forever and ever, generation after generation after generation, everybody agreed about things that really there aren't studim l'kan u'l'kan. That's the kasha of the Chavos Yair. I think the answer to this is we have to look at another point that the Rambam makes. The Rambam, in this Hakdamot to Pirush Mishnah, emphasizes one basis for debate, which is the lower caliber student, Shloshim Shukal HaTorach. But the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel Daled, gives another reason for the proliferation of debate. And they're both true. And I think really, when you consider the second reason of the Rambam, then his kasha Chavos Yair goes away. The Rambam over there writes, "V'dvarim shelamedim min hadin, im iskimu aleim." In other words, things that are extrapolated, right? Category three. Im iskimu aleim based in agadol kulan hare iskimu vim nechleku bahen holchen achar haro. Umotzin hadin achar harabim. So with respect to category three, there is machlokas, and you follow the rov. Achri rabim lahatos. V'chein hagzeros v'atakanos v'aminhagos. Imro miktsas and shirai ligzor gzera, olasakin takana, So there could be debate, like we said, with respect to category 3 and 4, follow the rov. Debate with respect to category 3, follow the rov. Kshayah based on Agadol Kayim, lo is a machlokas b'Yisrael. Ella, kol din shenolad bo safek le'achad mi'Yisrael shoel le'beistin shebi'iro im yadu amulo im lav harei shoel im oso beistin o im oso im shluchav olam Yerushalayim v'shoel le'beistin shebahar bayis im yadu amulo im lav hakol bo'im le'beistin she'al pesach hazara im yadu amulan v'im lav hakol bo'im le'lishkas ha'gazis le'beistin ha'gadol v'shoelin im ha'yadavar shenolad bar safek l'chol yadua etzel beis nagadol bein mepi ha'kabala bein mepi hamida shedanu ba omer miyad im lo ha'yadavar bar etzel beis nagadol shedanim bo b'shaitan v'nos v'nosnin b'davar ad shiaskimu kulan o yamdu l'minyan v'yelchu achar harov yomu l'chol ha'sholim kach halacha v'holchen lahem. But Mishabitel Bezen Agadol Rab Samach Loikes B'Yisrael Zemetame V'nosein Tam Ledvar V'zemetar V'nosein Tam Ledvarav Zeosev Zematir. And we can't simply resolve the matter by taking a vote. There has to be another way to figure out what to do. That's the Gemara Avodah Zarah, which the Rambam understands as following D'Raisa Machmir D'Rabban L'Chumra D'Rabban L'Kula. But let's say what's going on. Rambam isn't saying over here there was never a machlokes until, you know, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It means there was never an unresolved machlokes until that debate about smicha. Now, why that smicha question wasn't resolved is an interesting issue, which we're not going to get into now. But until that machlokes about smicha, there was never an unresolved question. And then for numerous generations, that was the only unresolved question. And then there were three more maybe during the time of Shammai v'Hillel. When did debate proliferate? Bibitul Sanhedrin. At that point, debate proliferated because there's no way to resolve the questions. Earlier, we had a resolution, right? If it was with respect to a Pirush Mekubal, so there's no such thing as debate. If some people had a Misora, so then the rest accepted it, like the Rambam said before. When it came to the interpretive debates, Svara, Drashos, and the like, so what would happen? If there was a debate, there would be a discussion, there would be a Masu Matan, and they would have Iramida Laminian, they would vote, and there would be resolution. And that would be it. That would be the end. There would be resolution. Conceivably, the Rambam says, by the way, Nochos Ma'amim Perik Beis, that actually if a later Beis Din went ahead and decided that they thought the interpretation of the earlier Beis Din was incorrect, they could overrule it. We don't say the principle of Ein Beis Din Yochel Vatal Beis Din Elen Kein Gadol Mimen Choch Minyan with respect to interpretive matters. A lower court that interprets the Pesukim differently should argue with their predecessors, even though they acknowledge their predecessors with greater. With respect to that, we say, Ein lecha l'shovich b'yamecha, yiftach b'dor k'shmo b'doro. It's only with respect to legislation that you need a higher level to overrule an earlier level, because there the basis of the legislation is in the court. So a lower court can't overrule a higher court. But with respect to interpretation, we don't say that. Everybody's the same. Anyway, the point is that there was debate. The Rambam acknowledges there was debate. And then the debate was resolved. There's much fewer debates because, like the Rambam says in Hakdamat Pirush Mishnah, there were higher quality chachamim, perhaps, but there were debates and they were resolved. The proliferation of the debate, then, according to the Rambam, is a result of two different things. That, you know, the perfect storm, because they more or less happened around the same period, which is the termination of the Beis Nagadol, as well as Misharabu Talmidim Shaloshim Shukal Atzairach. And that is accounts for. So first of all, In terms of your question about the machlokas between Dov and Shaul about Milva, so now there's another answer besides the answer Tysus gave, right? There might have been debates earlier, just they were resolved. Rambam isn't claiming there was never a machlokas, and that certainly addresses the question that the Chavos Ya'ir, raises. Okay, let's turn to some of his other questions. We didn't get to the main ones yet. Yes?
Didn't people have Sanhedrin happen quite a bit later than that?
It was a process.
Yes.
But it was still around the same period of time. It was around the time of the Chachmei HaMishnah, and that's when we find the proliferation of debate. But it was a process. As you know, they left the Lishkas Agassiz 40 years before the destruction and the like. So what the Rambam means exactly by Bittel it goes back to that. But already, to a large degree, there was Bittel of Sanhedrin more than a generation before the destruction of the Bai Sheni. And it was in that generation and the generations that followed that we find the proliferation of debate. Hillel lived at the very end of the Bai Sheni period. So as I said, I don't know that these two things happened at the exact same moment, but we're describing here a process, and there are two contributing factors to this process. Some more questions from the Chavos Ya'ir. Another question that the Chavos Ya'ir asks is that there are sources in Chazal that do seem to indicate that every detail was given to Moshe at Sinai. Last week, for example, we go to the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Hamed Aleph that says Torah zu Mikra, Mitzvah zu Mishnah, Asher Kasavti el Nevi'im Uksuvim, Lo Rasan zu Gemara. So he said maybe the Rambam's understanding of Mishnah and Gemara over there don't mean the text of the Mishnah and Gemara, but rather Mishnah means the Torah Shebal Peh, Gemara means the concept, the principles of analysis. But what about Nevi'im Uksuvim, right? And I guess we're not going to get to it today, maybe next week. But we'll see, there are other statements in Chazal that, like, even Diktuke Sofrim were given at Sinai, even Dinim Derabanan were given at Sinai, Kol Masha Talmud Vasek Asid Lahiris was given at Sinai. Everything was given at Sinai. Everything. If I said a Chiddush today, that was good. Sinai. I don't know, maybe, I don't know, everything I'm saying isn't good, so. Right? So what's going on over here? That's Mamash against the Rambam. So, again, I think there's more to say here, but briefly, I think we have to say a couple things. Number one, I think as we discussed somewhat in the first semester, the Rambam tells you that when you have an agadic text that doesn't make sense literally, so it shouldn't be understood literally. It may be the case that the Rambam let's take that Gemara Brachos we saw last time, right? That says, Nevim and Ksuvim were given at Sinai. It seems, as we noted last week, inconceivable that the text of the Torah was given at Sinai in its entirety. And what? Nevi'im and Ksuvim were given at Sinai, right? Moshe knew, read Sefer Yoshua, and he knew about his death. Is that really true? So maybe those Gemaras shouldn't be understood literally. The Rambam, in his Hakdamot Perek Chelek, in his Hakdamot Manavuchim, very forcefully argues that you shouldn't always understand every agadic statement literally, especially when it's problematic. Number two, now the Rambam, though, does say that, you know, you should seek to explain a agadic statement, maybe not literally, but in a way, you know, it has some meaning. So what is the meaning? Perhaps the Rambam understood these statements as not saying that literally the hayra'os of a Talmud Vasek were stated word for word at Sinai. Rather, every Chiddush throughout the generations that's correct, that's true, is rooted in the Torah given at Sinai. It does go back to Sinai. Sinai doesn't literally mean the words were given at Sinai. Every Havayah Dabai V'Rava was given at Sinai in a more literal sense. But every aspect of the Torah that's true, we'll talk about this a little more next week, but you know, there are statements. It says that Rebbe Lazar, everything he said, he heard from his Rebbeim. It also says Rebbe Lazar said, Chidushim Shalonemu Me'olam. Sestira? No, they're both true. Because everything he said emerged from the Torah that his Rebbeim taught him. Okay, maybe next week we'll elaborate on this point. That's point number one. Point number two is, even if you don't think that's true, though I think it makes sense, but even if you don't think it's true, so perhaps the Rambam held that this was a debate in Chazal, because there are other statements in Chazal that clearly indicate otherwise, that Klalim were given at Sinai, Pratim weren't given at Sinai, or Pirtei Pratim weren't given at Sinai. And there's a number of sources in Chazal where it's clear that there were things that were Nischadish later, like the Rambam claims. You know, that might be, the Tartinu says that's the meaning of the famous Gemara Menachos, Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu sitting in the back of Rabbi Akiva's classroom and not having a clue what was flying until he was finally felt better when he said that this comes from Moshe Misinai, right? In other words, either those statements in Chazal shouldn't be met literally, that the words of every chiddush that's ever correct were given at Sinai, it means that every chiddush that is correct is rooted in the Torah, is given at Sinai. It goes back to Sinai in a very true sense. Not a literal sense, but a true sense. Or alternatively, it's a machlaikas in Chazal, the Rambam sided with the other view. So I don't think that's, maybe that's, okay. Now, perhaps actually the strongest challenge that the Chavos Yair poses is a very interesting one, which is the Rambam over there, you know, wants to prove his point. He wants to say there is never machlaikas about halach l'mosh mi-Sinai, right? So he puts his money where his mouth is, and he says, okay, so I'm going to tell you now every halach l'mosh mi-Sinai, and you'll see there's no machlokas. Everyone or almost everyone, and he has this long list, more than 150 halach l'mosh mi-Sinais, goes through each one. Just look, great, amazing. There's two problems with that list. Number one is that even some of the things that the Rambam puts on that list are subject to debate. We find machlokas by halach l'mosh mi-Sinai. That's the Chavos Yair asks. And he gives examples. We'll see them in a moment. Number two is on that list, he includes Dinu D'Rabbanan. What is it? What? So we need it. Let's do one at a time. So number one, the list includes things that are debate. So there's a very, very beautiful approach to this. In the Rav's Yartzei Shiurim, as I said, I recommend everyone reads it, and we're not going to be able to present it fully nor do it justice. But we'll briefly try to explain a little bit what he said. So the Rav says basically that there's two types of Mesora. There is a Mesora that's Misyacheses Lelimud Vikuach Ma'asu Matan V'Rav Sichlis. The hara that's subject to dispute, analysis, human intellect, and obviously with respect to that, you find debate. And then there's the second category of the Mesora shel Kabbalah. With respect to the first category, for example, we say that a later Beis Din could argue with an earlier Beis Din. With respect to the second category, it's pure Mesora. Let's say you were to have a debate with respect to the second category. So it's not really a debate, because the opinion that isn't based off of the Mesora, that's against the Mesora, is simply a non-opinion. And thus, even if there is a dissenting view in Shas, this is not considered a machlokas. The dissenting view, as the Rambam said explicitly, must retract. And that's the answer to this first question. The Rav really develops this idea very interestingly. In this context, he discusses the famous view of the Beis Halevi with respect to the rejection of the Reziner Tcheles. And why did he reject the Reziner Tcheles? Because something like Tcheles, you know, the definition of a term in the Torah relates to the second category of Mesora, and therefore it must have a Mesora. And no amount of argumentation or even archaeological evidence can recreate a Mesora. A Mesora has to be unbroken. And if the Mesora is lost, then it can't be recreated except through a Gilui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says that's the pshat. If you look at the Gemara in Zvachim, on Daf Samech Beis Amud Aleph, and the Rambam Paskins this way in Hilchos Beis Bechira, Perk Beis, Halacha Dalid, when Klal Yisrael came back from Galus Sheni, they needed to find, for example, the place of the Makom HaMizbeach and the like, and they needed Nebuah for this, because it was a Mesora, it was lost, it couldn't be recreated by logic, it needed a recreation of the Mesora through Nebuah. This is the second question that we said relates to Dinim D'Rabbanan that are included in this list. Again, The Rav develops this a little further. We don't have time to do it. But basically, the Rambam, the Rav shows that the Rambam writes that the reason why Talmud Bavli is binding is because there's a Kabbalah of all of Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam says something very important, which is that, or indicates at least, that a Kabbalah of all of Klal Yisrael is the same din as a ruling of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And that's because the koach of the Sanhedrin emerges from the people themselves. And therefore, a ruling, even a din d'rabbanan that was universally accepted, has in a certain sense the same status of the Mishnah, becomes part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's why he thinks that's included in the list. And that explains a lot of things in the Rambam. That's why the Rambam thinks that the all of Klal Yisrael can recreate the smicha, right? That's why the Rambam thinks that a gzeira made by Sanhedrin that wasn't accepted by Klal Yisrael is automatically not binding. It doesn't even have to be retracted. And there's a lot here. I'll just close with sort of the final objection that the Chavos Yair says, and I want you to think about the answer, because we don't have time for you to hear what I have to think. So I'll leave it to you with a question. I want you to think about the answer, and we'll see what we'll talk about next week. The Chavos Yair says like this. You know, the Rambam, he was trying to defend the Masora, right, by saying that there was never any forgetting. Hine harav bana choyma b'tzura saviv tar shebal peh b'mashakasav shelo shayach ba shikcha. Halavai shenuchal chazko lamida mashiyev shaladaiti. The Rambam was trying too hard. He's trying to defend the Masora by saying there's no machlokas. We can't. He compares it to the Rambam's position by Dinim D'Rabbanan. He says the Rambam tried to build up Dinim D'Rabbanan, making every D'Rabbanan derise, and the Ramban critiques that. And he says here too, tries to build up the Masora, but he goes too far. I don't think that's Akasha, and I don't think this is Akasha, but we'll have to leave it here. I want to wish you all a wonderful Shabbos, and Be'ezras Hashem, I will see you next week, if not before. You had a question?
Aren't there places where there's machlokas continually about something that one side claims is...